You pray for us tonight. We'll see how long we go. These thoughts that I have tonight have been simmering for about 8 months. One of my cousins stopped down to see me when I was recovering from my hip surgery last year. And they related to me a vision that they had had. And it inspired me to begin meditating on the table of the Lord. And I know I can't bring all the scriptures out that surround the topic. However, we're going to do our best to get across the picture that I have for you. The title tonight is Come and Dine. Come and Dine. You will probably see a different side of Brother Orr tonight. I will get emotional. All the glory goes to God. I hope to transfer to you the picture, the image, the vision of the table of the Lord. And I know the title's different, but it'll all come together at the end. So you pray for me. It's all wrapped up as we gather about eating at the Lord's table, the Lord's food. Our text is found in John, the 21st chapter. Very familiar scripture, and I know most of you have all read this passage, but John 21, starting it says in verse number 1, and it says, "And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing." Well, there's a lot that can be said here. We're just going to keep going because we've got a lot to bring out. He says, "I go a-fishing." And they say unto him, "We also go with thee." And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night, they caught nothing. I've fished for a long time, and sometimes that happens. It's very discouraging when you fish for a long period of time, and sometimes you don't even get a nibble. They didn't catch anything. Now, you got to remember, these were fishermen. The majority of these men were all fishermen. But they caught nothing. And when the morning was now come, daylight, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" And they answered, "No." In other words, we didn't catch anything. And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the other side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Remember, they didn't know it was Jesus. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat about him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. He was embarrassed. He jumped in the water. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, "Bring the fish which ye have caught, which ye have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. Find it interesting that we have an exact amount of fish that was caught. "And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, unto the disciples, come and dine. Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Another miracle was wrought right there in front of them. They fished all night, but they caught no fishes. Jesus said, cast the net on the other side. 153 fish in that net. And they knew it was the Lord. Jesus said, come and dine. Verse 13, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I'm sure he was pointing at the fish. And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. And he saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. That's our text we're going to use, and we're going to have several other scriptures, but that's our text. Just some thoughts on this passage as we get into these thoughts here that I have. You wonder why they decided to cast the net on the other side of the ship as Jesus suggested. They didn't know who he was. Maybe in their mind, I thought, well, we've been fishing over out of this side all this time. I'll just try out the other side, as he says. We don't know the reason, but they decided to do as Jesus asked or told them to do. Remember, they did not know that it was him. One of the questions that popped in my mind as I was studying this is, where did Jesus get the fishes and the bread when they reached the shore? He had already had a coal of fire there with the fish laid on, ready for them to eat. Where did Jesus get that at? Remember, this was after he was resurrected. We must remember, he was the Son of God. He was and is the Son of God. Jesus gave them time to count the fish before he said unto them, come and dine. Also noted is the exchange with Peter. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. And he says that twice. We all know that the setting with fish and bread was symbolic of the spiritual message to Peter. Yes, they were hungry. After fishing all night, I'm sure they were hungry. But the food that Peter needed to feed the lambs and the sheep was spiritual. And when the Comforter came on the day of Pentecost, Peter had food to feed the people. A message directly from God. How do we know that it was spiritual food? There was a response. What was the response recorded in Acts 2 and 37? It says, men and brethren, what shall we do? You wonder if that came back to Peter. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Jesus had prepared the food right by the sea. And I thought about that. The food was right where the disciples were. It wasn't at some faraway place. It was right where they were at. I would like to bring some thoughts about the table that God has prepared for us to eat spiritually. In Ezekiel 41:22, it talks about the dimensions of the literal table that was in the Old Testament there in the tabernacle or the tent that was before the Lord. Verse 22 says, "The altar of wood was but 3 cubits high, and the length thereof 2 cubits, and the corners thereof, and the length thereof, and the walls thereof were of wood. And he said unto me, This is the table that is before the Lord." Now another place, another passage that talks about the table for the shewbread, which was made of gold. There's many tables mentioned in the Old Testament. You study that out. Then in Psalms 23:5, and I think we can all quote this. It says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." And he says, "Thou anointest my head with oil." And he says, "My cup runneth over." Preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, letting us know that God has a place for each and every one of us. Even in the midst of our enemies, we can be fed. We can be secure in his table. The table, or the king's table. We'll try to paint a picture for you of a table. The king's table, the Lord's table. In your mind, I want you to think about the King of Kings. And I want you to think about the table that is the King's table. This table is solid. It's sturdy. It's big enough for all to put their feet underneath. All can have a seat if you so desire. What are we talking about? We're talking about the family of God sitting at the Lord's table. Talk about some of the aspects of this table as I'm painting a picture for you. The utensils that's on this table are the best. Everything on that table matches. It's the best. I'm talking about the Lord's table. The best. The plates all stack together absolutely perfectly. They fit together perfectly. You that have worked in a restaurant, if you've worked over in a dining hall, think about a table spread where everything is matching and perfectly fit so that it all works together. No imperfections in this table. They all go together and serve the purpose of the Lord. The pots and the serving plates are the vessels of the Lord. Each one of these vessels and pots and plates, whatever they are that's used on that table, are all marked with the seal of the Lord. Just a thought here. Are we not vessels for the Lord's use? Are we not vessels for the Lord's use? A willing vessel for the Master's use. And we are marked with a seal as well. Just some thoughts there. Throw that in. The cups that are used are crystal. Why are they crystal? Well, if you've ever had a crystal glass, have you ever had a crystal glass or a goblet and put your finger and started running around the ring and it makes that certain ring? And you know that it's pure crystal. The cups of the Lord have a distinct ring to them. The instruments of the Lord, everything on that table is clean. There's no spots at this feast. No spots. Everything is perfectly clean, perfectly fit together. The vessels, there's no imperfections. There are many tables presented in the world, but there is only one table of the Lord. Let's look at some of the other tables for a minute. I think about tables that are broken down. Tables where they're not solid, they're not sturdy. Nothing is secure. You ever had a table like that that you never could get level and you put a shim underneath of it and just nothing ever set right? Well, these other tables that are out there that people sit at, there's problems with them. They're not solid. The plates that are used are a scattered lot of all kinds of patterns. Nothing matches. It's just kind of thrown together. Yard sale specials. Bits and pieces of all kinds of utensils. And to top it all off, there's spots on the forks. You ever go to a restaurant and there's like dirt, crumbs, and is that a water spot? I don't know, just rub it off. But at these other tables, there's major problems. Why? Because there's all kinds of issues with the table. You ever go to a fancy restaurant and you know how much money you're paying, and there's a certain level that you expect out of that restaurant, out of the tableware, out of everything that's before you when you sit down because you're paying a certain amount of money. But on many of these tables, there's issues. There's grime on the plates, grease from the last meal. And yet many ones are trying to feast on these types of tables. God help us. God help us. I'm hoping I'm painting a picture here for you of those other tables that are out there. Lots of issues with those other tables. God help our friends and relatives, those that have turned to one of the other tables. They need an awakening moment. The charming effects of the snake charmers have blinded the eyes. They can't see the condition of the tables and of the food they're on. I hope everyone realizes that I'm talking about a spiritual table here. I got that in red in my notes. We're talking about a spiritual table. The pastor is the waiter. When he gets up, what's he doing? He's bringing out the food for the king's table. He's presenting the gospel. The ministers are the servers that wait on the souls at the table of the Lord, presenting the gospel, doctrines to strengthen, to encourage, to reprove, all with love. And I might say here, there's no stale bread on this table. There's no stale bread on this table, no expired meat. God has the best, and we are to present the best we are able to do. And everything is to be properly seasoned. God help us. The food at the Lord's table is the best. And the best is what God has for you. Thus, it's the best. It's what God has for you. The water in those glasses is crystal clear. There's no impurities in this water. 100% water of life. 100% water of life. I'm going to take a drink. Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. This bread is fresh, it's warm, and it's ready to eat. Now in John the 6th chapter, and I'm going to read some out of John the 6th chapter, so if you want to turn there. Got a lengthy passage here to read. Verses 47 and 48. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Do I have that the right spot? Yeah, I do. Verse 49 says, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Remember, the people had a hard time with some of these sayings, and we're going to read that. And verse 50 says, this is the bread. This is the words of Christ in red, by the way. It says, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. And Jesus says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And we know that was fulfilled on the cross. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Type of cannibal? They had a hard time with that. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things saith he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? It's a hard saying. Why was they having a hard time with that? Because he was speaking of the spiritual. They did not understand what he had to say there. When he said, I am the bread of life. And on this table, for the newborns, we have the milk of the word, right? 1 Peter 2 and 2, and it says, as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. The milk of the word. Starting to get a picture now of what's on this table. The table of the Lord. What other kind of food is on the table? We have the meat of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Doctrines and teachings that give you strength. And I'm going to list a few of them. Brother Decker comes out with some meat. Some strong meat. That if we eat it, it will be healthy for us and help us to grow and strengthen us, right? Truth about the Trinity. Explaining by the Word of God what the Trinity is. The Holy Spirit. Many people in the world today are confused about what the Holy Spirit is. It's in the Word. Holiness. Brother Decker comes preaching fillet of holiness. Think about that. Fillet of holiness. Gives us something to chew on. And if we digest it, it will help us. How about living free from sin? That's another part of the food. How about the ordinances that Jesus taught? Many in the world today, yeah, they might observe one, maybe two, but they don't do all three. Got a problem with that. Why is that? Because at their table, they don't have the truth. How about the government of the church? Spelled out in the Word of God. Forgiveness. Restitution. Modesty. Brother Decker comes many times with a fillet of modesty. Are we going to eat it? We'll get into that. The new birth. That is another element of truth. Salvation and what it means. The unity of God's people. Sanctification. Being set apart. Many in the world today, they teach lots of things, but for most of them, they have no concept of what being set apart really means. They just all want to get along together. Let's just all come together. They're eating at a different table. Brother Watson was here not too long ago. What did he bring? Some divine healing. It's in the Word of God. It is a truth that we have in the Word of God. The end time, the judgment day. Lastly, heaven and hell. Those are all doctrines that we find presented at this table. Why would you go to any other table when the best food is at the Lord's table? It's found at the Lord's table. We also have the love of God that is so sweet, and it fills the longing down in your soul. The love of God is a beautiful thing. And we possess it right here when he saves us from all sin, right? As the song goes. As I was writing my notes, I tried lots of thoughts, 8 months now. And I was going to talk about a lot of food, but I decided to cut that out, talking about literal food. But But I will mention this. I was thinking about the love of God, and I thought, you know, the love of God is like that warm cinnamon roll that just melts in your mouth. I know I'm going to make you all hungry now. I was trying to find something to compare, you know, something that just, it's just one of those, wow, it's an amazing thing. And that's the love of God. Feeling that love down in our heart. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Did you know that the Lord wants us to eat a balanced diet? Balanced for spiritual growth. I've been learning a lot about different types of farming. Farmers, when they feed their animals, those farmers that are really, really want their animals to be properly raised, properly healthy, they're very, very careful about what they feed those animals. It's their livelihood. I'm going to feed them something and the whole herd gets sick and dies. Or a flock of sheep. So they're very careful about what they feed the sheep or the cattle. But the Lord wants us to eat a balanced diet, balanced for spiritual growth. I thought about how that the farmer, a dairy cow, I found this quite amazing. They said that we've basically, over the last 50, 60 years, we've lost half of the dairy cattle in the United States. But we're now producing more milk with half of the cows. How is that? Because they have perfected the science of knowing exactly what that cow needs to produce more milk, better milk, all of those things. Very, very unique. But they have a balance of minerals. There's all kinds of grains in there to make that cow produce exactly what they need. And by the way, they keep track of it too. With technology today, that little ear tags, right? They know exactly what that cow is, how much he's ate, how much he produces, she produces. I've never been to a Brazilian steakhouse. They are expensive. But at a steakhouse, Brazilian steakhouse, which by the way is an all-you-can-eat steakhouse, they have a couple over in Columbus. When you go in, it's not this big, by the way. I just did this for reference. But they give you a little token thing. It's usually about this big around. And on one side, it's red, which means I don't want no meat. Just I'm done. Or I'm full. You know, I'm full. Green, or whatever color the restaurant is, might be blue, says, I want something. So as the waiters walk around with the meat on a skewer, they will carve you off whatever you need. Whatever you ask for, that's what they'll give you. It's an all you can eat. Pay a certain price. But you have the ability to say yes or no. I thought about the expression, and I've used it before at the podium there, about having our cup turned up. When we sit down at the Lord's table, do we have our cup turned up? Do we have our token that says, I'm ready to eat? Do we have our fork and knife? Do we have the napkin? Are we ready to eat? There's a man in town, maybe you've seen him. I think he's actually a minister. He's kind of a robust person. And many times when I've seen him out at restaurants, He usually has either a suit or a white tie or white shirt on or whatever, but he always goes to this great length of having this bib on or a napkin or something so he doesn't get food all over himself. And it always reminds me, it just that picture of somebody sitting there at that table, ready to eat. It's like, bring it on. Whatever you got, just bring it on. When we come to service, the Lord's table, are we ready to eat? Are we ready to be fed what the waiter is serving, that the Holy Spirit has prepared? Or are we sitting there, pull your phone out, and check this out, and or are we anticipating the best that the Lord has for us? I say that as a challenge. I say that with all love. Remember, I've had this for 8 months. So I've been chewing on it for quite a while. God has the best for us. Some arrive at the table, but they don't eat. And when you don't eat, it causes health problems. Remember, we're talking spiritual things here. Lack of eating means you are either full. And I might say here, there's always room for more of Jesus. You're either full or you're sick. And you can't eat. Sometimes we have need to do the self-diagnostic check, right? Am I ready to eat what God has prepared for me? Or is there a problem there? If there's a problem, we can take care of it if we recognize that it's a problem. But I think of the many, many people that don't eat because there's something wrong. There's something wrong there that they can't eat the best that God has for them. 1 Corinthians 10 and 21 says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of the devils. A woe to those that despise the good things of the Lord. In Malachi 1, verses 7, and 12, it says, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have ye polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Verse 12 says, but ye have profaned it. In that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. There are many reasons why we can observe people that are not eating. But I might say there is a woe to them that corrupt the food of the Lord. Purposely feeding the wrong food. And I'm talking about ministry here. Trying to do the feeding without the Spirit of God. God has your number. Sometimes I think people fail to realize it's the king's table. It's the Lord's table. This is the Lord's business. It's about his people. It's not Brother So-and-so's people. It's the Lord's people. Let's summarize the Lord's table a little bit here. At the Lord's table, we're sitting at the feet of Jesus. Think about that. We're sitting at the feet of Jesus, waiting to be fed the best food. Remember, God has the best. I'm going to repeat that over and over again. He has the best. The best food. It's the best table. There's no second rate. There's no second class. You know, there's different levels of meat in the United States. You can get choice, prime, and all this other stuff. God's is the best. You can't get any higher than the best because it's the Lord's. At the Lord's table, we are anticipating the good things from the Lord. Do we come anticipating what God has for us, anticipating that meal that we can have? And our soul is in communion with God, right? The table of the Lord is a beautiful place. It's a picture of the true church of God. If you haven't already realized that. It's a picture of the true church of God. And the table of the Lord is full, just like the net was in our text in verse number 11. That net was full of fishes. And at the Lord's table, it's full of all good things for us. The table of the Lord is a happy place. There's no sad, forlorn people sitting at that table unless there's something wrong with them. Unless they're sick. But it's a happy place. Contented place for the saints of God to dwell. And I'm hoping you can see, you can visualize what I'm trying to get across tonight. To open those spiritual eyes. And I thought about how that our young people need to see for themselves that vision of the church of God. And you know what? When you have that vision that God gives you, and you can see that, nobody can take that away from you. And you know what? It establishes a point in your life where you know where you belong. That spiritual vision needs to be personal. Needs to be a personal vision. There is a call also that is going out, getting down here towards the end. Nothing ever goes like it goes in your mind, right? I've learned that over the years. Lots of things in your mind, but it doesn't come out that way. But we do our best. There is another call that goes out to all saved of the Lord. Not another call, but this is the call that goes out. And that call is to come and dine. Just as Jesus told the disciples when they reached the shore, pulled that net up, and he gave them time to count the fish before he said, come and dine. Come and dine. So what do? We pull up our chair and sit under the table of the Lord, prepared to be fed the best of the best. Comparing a lush green pasture for sheep to sitting at the feet of Jesus, eating the best spiritual food. You know, a lot is said about safe spaces today. That's a big buzzword in schools and other places, you know, safe spaces. And I thought about the ultimate safe place is where God is. Where the word of God is preached to its fullest, right? Where nothing is held back. It's not metered out with what man's idea is. It's preached to its fullest. And thank the Lord we have a place to come to where we can be fed well. We can grow in the things of the Lord. And I thought about how that Brother Decker is doing his best to present the gospel so that we can all grow in the things of the Lord. He's presenting a balanced diet. God knows what each one of us need. The shepherd has each one of our numbers, right? Just like the farmer that keeps track of his herd or flock, and he tells the waiter what to bring our way so that we can be helped eat the proper food for what we need at that moment in our life. And yet I think about many that go other places. You think about that other table I mentioned. You think about that table that they're using garage sale, yard sale utensils and plates and cups, and nothing matches. They're presenting a gospel with holes in it. There's problems. There's great big gaping holes in the food they're presenting. It's almost like the rats have ate part of it. Matter of fact, some of that doctrine that's presented is actually poisonous. If we are at our place at the table, God will provide what we need. And I think about this table. In my mind, there's this large table. The saints of God are all sitting there, waiting and anticipating to be fed the best that God has to offer. Our pastor, the waiter, comes along, serving us what God has prepared for us. It's our choice to accept it. But if we don't accept it, what happens? You either starve, you go somewhere else and eat some polluted food, second rate, second best, third best. Ultimately, our health suffers. But if we're eating what God has prepared for us, it has all the nutrition. As I said before, it's a balanced diet. Everything is prepared for our nutrition, our spiritual nutrition. The other call that goes out, that I mentioned about there, I misspoke there earlier, the other call that goes out is to the lost. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I, Jesus, will give you rest." We need to be born into the family of God so that we can enjoy the best food in the world. Our appetite needs to be changed. Brother Josh spoke about a change tonight. They sang about a change. A change takes place, and you love the things you once hated, and you hate the things you once loved. Amen. Why does that happen? It's because there's a nature change. Amen. All found in old time salvation. You can be a part of God's chosen people, a choice you need to make for your soul's sake. Then you can come and dine with the redeemed. And I'm going to finish up by singing a song. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed. He supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. He the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeyed the Christ command. For the master calleth unto them, come. I messed that up. Let's try it again. You can do that when you're up here. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command, for the master calleth unto them. Where they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire, thus he supplies the hungry every single time. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will be assembled thee. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white. With them Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. And I might say, the call for his people is to come and dine. But I'm afraid there's many, many people today that have went other places and are dining at other tables that are not the Lord's table. And it's a matter of time before we see the result of that. And the result of dining at a different table is to be sick and to be spiritually dead. It's a serious topic. It's a serious thing if we're not dining when Jesus has the table spread. My question is to you tonight, are you dining? Or have you put up your hands, put up your sign that says, oh, no more, no more? Only you can answer that. It needs to be, bring it on. Bring it on. Bring on the doctrine. Bring on the strong meat. Bring on the living bread. Bring on the living water. Bring those things that I need for my soul to make it to glory. And we can be blessed. Why? Because he has a table spread. The message is come and dine. Praise the Lord. Let us stand.